Welcome to the Faith Comes From Hearing podcast. This podcast will be a sharing of part of my morning routine as I prepare for the day with the Word of God. We will be partaking of Puritan prayers from the Valley of Vision, each day's morning devotional from Charles Haddon Spurgeon's Morning and Evening, and we'll be reading from the Legacy Standard Bible, which is the newest and, I believe, the most accurate translation of the Word of God. We will be following a Bible reading calendar that provides for reading the whole Bible in a year that was created by Minister Robert Murray McShane for his congregation back in 1842, and that has been a part of my daily reading for over 6 years now. Good morning and welcome to the Sunday, November 19th episode of the Faith Comes From Hearing podcast. I am Wayne Floyd, your host. The Faith Comes From Hearing podcast is a humble member of the Christian podcast community. You can find us over at christianpodcastcommunity.org. A lot of great listening over there. Over 60 well-curated podcasts, wide variety of topic areas, all approached from a biblical worldview. My brothers and sisters in Christ over there putting together some great content. So I would absolutely recommend you go over there. I will guarantee you're going to find something over there you want to listen to. And there's a very good chance you're going to find more over there to listen to than you actually have time to listen to it in, which is a heck of a problem to have. All right. Well, Sunday morning, we're going to be quick about this. Not that I want to rush through it, but we're going to be quick about this because I need to be getting ready for church. And if you haven't already gone and worshiped with the saints and are physically able to, I'm praying that you're going to be getting ready for church. So let's go ahead and do this. With it being a Sunday, we're going to be going ahead and just doing our reading. And then we will pick back up, God willing, our study in the Gospel of John tomorrow evening. So let's go ahead and open up with one of the prayers from Valley Vision. This one's called Lord's Day Morning. Let's pray. O maker and upholder of all things, day and night are thine, they are also mine from thee. The night to rid me of the cares of the day, to refresh my weary body, to renew my natural strength. The day to summon me to new activities, to give me opportunity to glorify thee, to serve my generation, to acquire knowledge, holiness, eternal life. But one day above all days is made especially for thy honor and my improvement. The Sabbath reminds me of thy rest from creation, of the resurrection of my Savior, of his entering into repose. Thy house is mine, but I am unworthy to meet thee there, and am unfit for spiritual service. When I enter it, I come before thee as a sinner, condemned by conscience and thy word. For I am still in the body and in the wilderness, ignorant, weak, in danger, and in need of thine aid, but encouraged by thy all-sufficient grace. Let me go to thy house with a lively hope of meeting thee, knowing that there thou wilt come to me and give me peace. My soul is drawn out to thee in longing desires, for thy presence in the sanctuary, at the table, where all are entertained on a feast of good things. Let me, before the broken elements, emblems of thy dying love, cry to thee with broken heart for grace and forgiveness. I long for that blissful communion of thy people, in thy eternal house, in the perfect kingdom. These are they that follow the Lamb. May I be of their company. Amen. All right. So our morning devotion from Spurgeon's Morning and Evening for November 19th. The text for it is from Titus 3:9. Avoid foolish questions. Our days are few and are far better spent in doing good than in disputing over matters which are at best of minor importance. The old schoolmen did a world of mischief by their incessant discussion of subjects of no practical importance, and our churches suffer much from petty wars over abstruse points and unimportant questions. After everything has been said that can be said, neither party is any wiser, and therefore the discussion no more promotes knowledge than love. And it is foolish to sow in so barren a field. Questions upon points wherein Scripture is silent, upon mysteries which belong to God alone, upon prophecies of doubtful interpretations, and upon mere modes of observing human ceremonials, are all foolish, and wise men avoid them. Our business is neither to ask nor answer foolish questions, but to avoid them altogether. And if we observe the Apostle's precept, Titus 3:8, to be careful to maintain good works, we shall find ourselves far too much occupied with profitable business to take much interest in unworthy, contentious, and needless strivings. There are, however, some questions which are the reverse of foolish, which we must not avoid, but fairly and honestly meet, such as these. Do I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ? Am I renewed in the spirit of my mind? Am I walking not after the flesh, but after the Spirit? Am I growing in grace? Does my conversation adorn the doctrine of God my Savior? Am I looking for the coming of the Lord, and watching as a servant should do, who expects his master? What more can I do for Jesus? Such inquiries as these urgently demand our attention, and if we have been at all given to cavilling, let us now turn our critical abilities to a service so much more profitable. Let us be peacemakers and endeavor to lead others both by our precept and example to avoid foolish questions. Wow, what a great one. What a great one. Very, very, very true. Way too many out there get caught up in the foolish arguments and not in evaluating the key situations, the key questions that need to be dealt with. All right, well, our reading for today, we're going to be reading Ezekiel 39 through 40, verse 27, James 2, verse 18 through all of James 3, Psalm 118, verses 1 through 18, and Proverbs 28, verse 2. So let me get a drink of tea here real quick. All right, Ezekiel 39. Now as for you, son of man, prophesy against Gog, and say, Thus says Lord Yahweh, Behold, I am against you, O Gog, chief prince of Meshach and Tubal, and I will turn you around, drive you on, take you up from the remotest parts of the north, and bring you against the mountains of Israel. And I will strike your bow from your left hand, and cause your arrows from your right hand to fall. You will fall on the mountains of Israel, you and all your troops, and the peoples who are with you. I will give you as food to every kind of predatory bird and beast of the field. You will fall on the open field, for it is I who have spoken, declares Lord Yahweh. And I will send fire upon Magog, and those who inhabit the coastland securely, and they will know that I am Yahweh. And my holy name I will make known in the midst of my people Israel, and I will not let my holy name be profaned any more. And the nations will know that I am Yahweh, the Holy One in Israel. Behold, it is coming, and it shall be done, declares Lord Yahweh. That is the day of which I have spoken. Then those who inhabit the cities of Israel will go out and make fires with the weapons and burn them, both shields and large shields, bows and arrows, war clubs and spears, and for 7 years they will make fires of them. They will not carry wood from the field or gather firewood from the forest, for they will make fires with the weapons, and they will take the spoil of those who made them into spoil, and seize the plunder of those who plundered them, declares Lord Yahweh. And it will be in that day that I will give Gog a burial ground there in Israel, the valley of those who pass by east of the sea, and it will block off those who would pass by. So they will bury Gog there with all his multitudes, and they will call it the Valley of Haman Gog. And for 7 months the house of Israel will be burying them, in order to cleanse the land. Even all the people of the land will bury them, and it will be unto their name on the day that I glorify myself, declares Lord Yahweh. Now they will set apart men who will continually pass through the land, burying those who were passing through, even those left on the surface of the ground, in order to cleanse it. At the end of 7 months they will make a search, and those who pass through the land will pass through, and when anyone sees a man's bone, he will set up a marker by it until the buriers have buried it in the valley of Haman Gog, and even the name of the city will be Hamona, so they will cleanse the land. Now as for you, son of man, thus says Lord Yahweh, say to every kind of bird and to every beast of the field, Gather and come, assemble from every side, to my sacrifice which I am going to sacrifice for you, as a great sacrifice on the mountains of Israel, that you may eat flesh and drink blood. You will eat the flesh of mighty men, and drink the blood of the princes, on the earth as though they were rams, lambs, goats, and bulls, all of them fatlings of Bashan. So you will eat fat until you are satisfied, and drink blood until you are drunk, from my sacrifice which I have sacrificed for you. and you will be satisfied at my table with horses and charioteers, with mighty men and all the men of war, declares Lord Yahweh. And I will put my glory among the nations, and all the nations will see my judgment, which I have executed, and my hand which I have placed on them. And the house of Israel will know that I am Yahweh their God from that day onward. And the nations will know that the house of Israel went into exile for their iniquity, because they acted unfaithfully against me, and I hid my face from them. So I gave them into the hand of their adversaries, and all of them fell by the sword. According to their uncleanness and according to their transgressions I dealt with them, and I hid my face from them. Therefore thus says Lord Yahweh, now I will return the fortunes of Jacob and have compassion on the whole house of Israel, and I will be jealous for my holy name. So they will forget their dishonor and all their unfaithfulness which they perpetrated against me, when they live securely on their own land with no one to make them tremble. When I return them from the peoples and gather them from the lands of their enemies, then I shall prove myself holy through them in the sight of the many nations. Then they will know that I am Yahweh their God, because I made them go into exile among the nations and then collected them again to their own land. And I will leave none of them there any longer, and I will not hide my face from them any longer, for I will have poured out my spirit on the house of Israel, declares Lord Yahweh. Ezekiel 40, reading through to verse 27. In the 25th year of our exile, at the beginning of the year, on the 10th of the month, in the 14th year after the city was struck down, on that same day the hand of Yahweh was upon me, and he brought me there. In the visions of God he brought me into the land of Israel, and caused me to rest on a very high mountain, and on it to the south there was a structure like a city. So he brought me there, and behold, there was a man whose appearance was like the appearance of bronze, with a line of flax and a measuring rod in his hand, and he was standing in the gateway. And the man spoke to me, Son of man, see with your eyes, hear with your ears, and set your heart on all that I am going to show you, for you have been brought here in order to show it to you. Declare to the house of Israel all that you are seeing. And behold, there was a wall on the outside of the house of Yahweh all around, and in the man's hand was a measuring rod of 6 cubits, each of which was a cubit and a hand breadth. So he measured the thickness of the wall, 1 rod, and the height, 1 rod. Then he went to the gate which faced east, went up its steps, and measured the threshold of the gate, 1 rod in width, and the other threshold was 1 rod in width. The guard room was 1 rod long and 1 rod wide, and there were 5 cubits between the guard rooms. And the threshold of the gate by the porch of the gate facing inward was 1 rod. Then he measured the porch of the gate facing inward, 1 rod. He measured the porch of the gate 8 cubits, and its side pillars 2 cubits, and the porch of the gate was faced inward. The guard room of the gate toward the east numbered 3 on each side. The 3 of them had the same measurement. The side pillars also had the same measurement on each side. And he measured the width of the entrance of the gate, 10 cubits, and the length of the gate, 13 cubits. There was a barrier wall, 1 cubit wide, in front of the guard rooms on each side, and the guard rooms were 6 cubits square on each side. He measured the gate from the roof of the one guard room to the roof of the other, a width of 25 cubits from one door to the door opposite. He made the side pillar 60 cubits high. The gate extended around about to the side pillar of the courtyard. From the front of the entrance gate to the front of the inner porch of the gate was 50 cubits. There were shuttered windows looking toward the guard rooms and toward their side pillars within the gate all around, and likewise for the porches. And there were windows all around inside, and on each side pillars were palm tree ornaments. And on each side pillar were palm tree ornaments. I didn't read that correctly. Then he brought me into the outer court, and behold, there were chambers and a pavement made for the court all around. 30 chambers faced the pavement. The pavement, that is, the lower pavement, was by the side of the gates, corresponding to the length of the gates. Then he measured the width from the front of the lower gate to the front of the exterior of the inner court, 100 cubits on the east and on the north. As for the gate of the outer court, which faced the north, he measured its length and its width. It had 3 guard rooms on each side, and its side pillars and its porches had the same measurement as the first gate. Its length was 50 cubits, and the width 25 cubits. Its windows and its porches and its palm tree ornaments had the same measurements as the gate which faced toward the east, and it was reached by 7 steps, and its porch was in front of them. The inner court had a gate opposite the gate on the north as well as the gate on the east, and he measured 100 cubits from gate to gate. Then he led me toward the south, and behold, there was a gate toward the south, and he measured its side pillars and its porches according to those same measurements. The gate and its porches had windows all around like those other windows. The length was 50 cubits, and the width 25 cubits. There were 7 steps going up to it, and its porches were in front of them, and it had palm tree ornaments on its side pillars, one on each side. The inner court had a gate toward the south, and he measured from gate to gate toward the south 100 cubits. All right. James 2, verse 18. But someone will say, "You have faith, and I have works. Show me your faith without the works, and I will show you my faith by my works. You believe that God is one? You do well. The demons also believe and shudder. But are you willing to recognize, you foolish fellow, that faith without works is useless? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered up Isaac his son on the altar? You see that faith was working with his works, and as a result of the works, faith was perfected, and the scripture was fulfilled, which says, 'And Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness, and he was called the friend of God.' You see that a man is justified by works and not by faith alone. And in the same way, was not Rahab the harlot also justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out by another way? For just as the body without the spirit is dead, so also faith without works is dead." James 3. Do not many of you become teachers, my brothers, knowing that we will receive a stricter judgment? For we all stumble in many ways. If anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is a perfect man, able to bridle the entire body as well. Now if we put the bits into the horses' mouths so that they will obey us, we direct their entire body as well. Look at the ships also. Though they are so great and are driven by strong winds, they are still directed by a very small rudder wherever the inclination of the pilot wills. So also the tongue is a small part of the body, and yet it boasts of great things. Behold how great a forest is set aflame by such a small fire. And the tongue is a fire, the very world of unrighteousness. The tongue is set among our members as that which defies the entire body, and sets on fire the course of our existence, and is set on fire by hell. For every kind of beast and birds, of reptiles and creatures of the sea, is tamed and has been tamed by mankind. But no one can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil and full of deadly poison. With it we bless our Lord and our Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come blessing and cursing. My brothers, these things ought not to be so. Does a fountain pour forth from the same opening fresh and bitter water? Can a fig tree, my brothers, produce olives, or a vine produce figs? Nor can salt water produce fresh? Who among you is wise and understanding? Let him show by his good conduct his works in the gentleness of wisdom. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your heart, do not be arrogant and so lie against the truth. This wisdom is not coming down from above, but is earthly, natural, demonic. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there is disorder and every evil practice. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruits, without doubting, without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. All right, Psalm 118, first 18 verses. Give thanks to Yahweh, for he is good, for his loving kindness endures forever. O let Israel say, his loving kindness endures forever. O let the house of Aaron say, his loving kindness endures forever. O let those who fear Yahweh say, his loving kindness endures forever. From my distress I call upon Yah. Yah answered me and set me in a large place. Yahweh is for me, I will not fear. What can man do to me? Yahweh is for me among those who help me. Therefore I will look in triumph on those who hate me. It is better to take refuge in Yahweh than to trust in man. It is better to take refuge in Yahweh than to trust in nobles. All nations surrounded me. In the name of Yahweh, I will surely cut them off. They surrounded me, indeed they surrounded me. In the name of Yahweh, I will surely cut them off. They surrounded me like bees. They were extinguished as a fire of thorns. In the name of Yahweh, I will surely cut them off. You pushed me down violently to make me fall, but Yahweh helped me. Yah is my strength and song, and he has become my salvation. The sound of joyful shouting and salvation is in the tents of the righteous. The right hand of Yahweh does valiantly. The right hand of Yahweh is exalted. The right hand of Yahweh does valiantly. I will not die. Indeed, I will live and recount the works of Yah. Yah has disciplined me severely, but he has not given me over to death. All right, in Proverbs 28, verse 2. By the transgression of a land, many are its princes, but by a man who understands, who knows, so it endures. All right, well, that is our reading for the day. Our evening devotion from Spurgeon's Morning and Evening for November 19th. The text is from Job 23:3. Oh, that I knew where I might find him. In Job's uttermost extremity, he cried after the Lord. The longing desire of an afflicted child of God is once more to see his father's face. His first prayer is not, Oh, that I might be healed of the disease which now festers in every part of my body. Nor even, Oh, that I might see my children restored from the jaws of the grave, and my property once more brought from the hand of the spoiler. But the first and uppermost cry is, Oh, that I knew where I might find him who is my God, that I might come even to his seat. God's children run home when the storm comes on. It is the heaven-born instinct of a gracious soul to seek shelter from all ills beneath the wings of Jehovah. He that hath made his refuge God He that hath made his refuge God might serve as the title of a true believer. A hypocrite, when afflicted by God, resents the infliction, and like a slave would run from the master who has scourged him, but not so the true heir of heaven. He kisses the hand which smote him, and seeks shelter from the rod in the bosom of the God who frowned upon him. Job's desire to commune with God was intensified by the failure of all other sources of consolation. The patriarch turned away from his sorry friends and looked up to the celestial throne just as a traveler turns from his empty skin bottle and betakes himself with all speed to the well. He bids farewell to earth-born hopes and cries, Oh, that I knew where I might find my God! Nothing teaches us so much the preciousness of the Creator as when we learn the emptiness of all, besides turning away with bitter scorn from earth's hives, where we find no honey, but many sharp stings, we rejoice in him whose faithful word is sweeter than honey or the honeycomb. In every trouble we should first seek to realize God's presence with us. Only let us enjoy his smile, and we can bear our daily cross with a willing heart for his dear sake. All right. Sorry about that. I don't know what's going on with my throat. Well, thank you for spending this time with me this morning. I appreciate getting to spend this time with you. I continue to pray that this time in the Word together helps to keep us both saturated in the Word of God. I hope you have yourself a wonderful day. I would continue to implore you to do all that you do for the glory of God. If you haven't worshiped with the saints already this weekend, please do so today. Please do so. Get to church. I've told you before about many, many, many church finders out there. So please, we are called to worship with the saints. Zoom church is not church. But for those of you who are not physically capable, you are welcome to join us. We would love to have you join us. We stream at 12:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. You'll find us on Facebook at Vail Valley Baptist Church and on Twitter at VVB Church. So like I said, we would love to have you. Pastor Jay is preaching through Matthew, and I don't remember what our passage is for today. But I do hope you join us if you're not physically able to worship with the saints in your local area. And again, I hope you have a good rest of your weekend. And let's go ahead and close out with prayer. We're going to close out with the Lord's Day evening prayer. Let's pray. Most holy God, may the close of an earthly Sabbath remind me that the last of them will one day end. Animate me with joy that in heaven praise will never cease, that adoration will continue forever, that no flesh will grow weary, no congregations disperse, no affections flag, no thoughts wander, no will droop, but all will be adoring love. Guard my mind from making ordinances my stay or trust, from hewing out broken cisterns, from resting on outward helps. Wing me through earthly forms to thy immediate presence. May my feeble prayers show me the emptiness and vanity of my sins. Deepen in me the conviction that my most fervent prayers and most lowly confessions need to be repented of. May my best services bring me nearer to the cross and prompt me to cry, "None but Jesus." By thy Spirit, give abiding life to the lessons of this day. May the seed sown take deep root and yield a full harvest. Let all who see me take knowledge that I have been with thee, that thou hast taught me my need as a sinner, hast revealed a finished salvation to me, hast enriched me with all spiritual blessings, hast chosen me to show forth Jesus to others, hast helped me to dispel the mists of unbelief. O great Creator, mighty Protector, gracious Preserver, thou dost load me with loving kindnesses, and hast made me thy purchased possession, and redeemed me from all guilt. I praise and bless thee for my Sabbath rest, my calm conscience, my peace of heart. Amen. All right, again, thank you for spending this time with me. I hope you have a wonderful day, and I hope to see you tomorrow morning. Have a good Sunday. God bless.